20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Do not adjust your dials, as I say. This voice is what you are hearing. It is Jason Perrone. I am back on the Pack-A-Day Podcast after a bit of a hiatus. I have missed all of you, as well as my co-hosts, and being here. And I am here along with Matt Frelick this week. Matt, it's another Saturday Pack-A-Day Podcast. Paul Brettel has a previous obligation, so it will be just you and I. Thanks for holding it down over the past couple weeks. You guys have been doing a fantastic job. Somehow I still have a job.
You do. Like I said, we've made jokes of this. Harry, our man up in Canada, your guy, he's been sliding in for your spot. Now maybe he'll be even slipping in Paul's spot. So we'll see if Paul can establish his dominance here in the next couple weeks. But thus far, this squad's been rolling. Whether it's two of us, three of us, you know what you're going to get. It's weather. It's the breakdown on, you know, coming into Saturday. Going into Sunday, we got the injury reports, kind of everything culminating at the end of the week, and we got a lot of stuff to get to. We got a on the road game down in Cincinnati versus the Cincinnati Bengals team that, frankly, a lot of people have probably overlooked just because they're the Cincinnati Bengals, but led by Joe Burrow, Joey Franchise, as I like to call him, they're a decent team right now, and coming off a long week of after Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, they've won a couple games. They're not the walkover that they've been in the past, and Joe Burrow continues to elevate and do well, and obviously bringing in Ja'Marr Chase, his old buddy from LSU, has helped that offense a lot too. So, but as we do, before we jump into the football content, we got to give the weather. You talked about Harry from Canada, and as you can imagine, up in Kamloops, Canada, they experienced their first frost of the year this week.
Ugh, they were doing so good too.
They were. It was like looking so good. It's like, you know, then it just falls off a cliff. So first frost of the year, it says, as it has been sunny and clear this week. However, Saturday, cloudy with a chance of showers, high of 55, low of 43. Monday is Thanksgiving in Canada, and it's, again, 55, 34, sunny again. So he says, hope you're back at it and doing well, Harry. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. And then Paul's friend, I feel like we each have our own international friends here. So Paul's guy from Sydney, Australia, Paskey, says 25 Celsius or 79 Fahrenheit for the United Statesers. Low humidity might hit the beach. 79 degrees Fahrenheit. Here in the Phoenix area, I do sound like a weatherman. Here in the Phoenix area, 85 and sunny. This is the time of year that we like to brag about. And I love watching Packers games. The noon games were still 2 hours behind Midwest, Matt. So the noon games actually start at 10 a.m. here. Could you imagine, like, just being able to saunter?
I've never understood if I would love that, hate that, be indifferent. Like, I do know based off 10 a.m., like, I could get some McDonald's breakfast and still enjoy the Packer game. That's the kind of benchmark I put in for myself. But, no, I've never understood how I would enjoy it or dislike it.
Well, the nice thing is that the game's over by 1 o'clock. And if you have, like, writing or podcasting or anything like that, like, you can still watch the evening game or the afternoon game, and it doesn't necessarily butt up to dinner or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But there's always advantages either way. Like, where we lose out is on those early games, like during the week, like Monday night, Thursday night games. We're stuck in traffic during the start of the game while we're trying to race home because the game starts at 5 o'clock. Well, if you get out of work at 5 and you're in the office, you got to drive home. So you're listening to or watching the first part of the game. Then you get home. It's like getting to the bar after your friends have been there for 3 rounds and you're just starting, like, and they're already 3 rounds in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you mean.
But this is crazy enough. Well, I shouldn't say crazy enough because it's only week 5, but this is the first noon game of the season. The Packers have gotten a lot of love on the schedule. And I don't know, obviously, it'll be on TV in your local market there, Matt, but it's on TV here again in the Phoenix area. I have yet to not get a game on television in the Phoenix market this season. Spoiled.
Getting that Packers love.
Spoiled rotten. So I don't want to forget you over there in Green Bay where everything happens and Lambeau Field is the place to be. So how are things looking over there?
You know, I talked about this yesterday on a different podcast, but, like, it's been rainy as shit here the last couple of days, like, for the last week. And we saw some of that for the Packers on Sunday when they played against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Luckily, in the morning, I was going to the game. It rained. I was like, ponchos were sold out across town, dollar store, Walmart, wherever you couldn't find them. Like, whatever, we're going to roll with it. Luckily, it didn't really rain too much during the game. After the game, then it rained. So we got lucky that way. But overall, I think it's going to be pretty dry tomorrow, or today being Saturday. Sunday, it's I think it's a chance of showers. I saw a report earlier in the week that it was like showers throughout. It looks like it's clearing up here. 77? Are you kidding me? Of the high?
Wow.
Like that's stupid. That makes no sense. Little windy, which it's good. It can dry out some of those leaves that I need to rake and kind of you're putting off until they all fall. So that's a benefit there.
It's all perspective, I guess, when you think about the winds.
And honestly, like there's been days, you know, as we wrap up here, second week of, you know, getting into the second week of October, there's been snow on the ground. So any day that it's above 60, it's not, you know, it's crazy wind chills or something bizarre going on or super, super gloomy. It's a W in Titletown.
So if you want to look way ahead, because I know we have to talk about the Bengals game. We got a lot to get to.
We do.
But I'm just looking ahead here. So the weather forecast a week from now in Chicago, it's supposed to be cloudy and partly sunny and a little bit of rain during the week. But it's in like the mid to high 70s. Well, the Packers are going to get a sunny day. It says it's sunny on Sunday next week when they're in Chicago to play the Bears. But it's 61 degrees is the high. So welcome fall.
Mm-hmm. And you get that lake effect too. You get that lake effect wind coming off in Soldier Field there. It's nasty.
Yeah,
we've seen what happens there too.
Yeah. So, and I love how I jumped ahead and looked at the forecast in Chicago for next week and didn't bother to tell anybody what it looks like in Cincinnati this week. So Cincinnati, good lordy, man, beautiful day.
Unbelievable.
Sunny and 86 degrees in Cincinnati this Sunday for Packers football, and it's going to be a 1 o'clock start because they're on East Coast time, right?
Mm-hmm.
1 o'clock start there, noon start in the local market. So so obviously we do the injury report, and I was starting to think ahead earlier this week when I was like, when we do the show, I'm like, we almost might be better off talking about who is going to play because there was a lot going on this week, and I think we got shell shocked early in the week because of the big news with Jair Alexander, obviously the Packers stud cornerback. We knew that. He was injured. He did not finish the game on Sunday this past week against the Steelers. He was carted off, did not return, and we knew he had an AC joint injury. I think one of the top NFL beat covers or reporters announced that was the initial fear. And as we were going out through the week, we were all doing the Twitter refresh thing every day. Just want to know if there was any news on Jair. Was he going to have surgery? Are we going to lose him for the season? Is he going to play? Tom Silverstein tweeted earlier this week and said the Packers are really doing their due diligence on this thing. They have to figure out whether or not surgery is the best option. He's their future. They're going to invest money in him. They're going to extend him. He's going to be a part of this team, so they have to get the decision right. And whenever I hear getting a second opinion, we know kind of more now, but let's think back to earlier this week, Matt. When you hear getting a second opinion, what does that make you feel like in the moment there? Because for me, I never like hearing that.
No, it's like, well, the first opinion kind of sucks, right? Like, that can go for, I mean, there's fourth, fifth opinions on the line. You find some, maybe someone that's a little bit, I don't know, on a different side of the spectrum than you are. And they're like, no, that's fine. You can do it this way, or you can take some of these vitamins or whatever. It's going to make it work. It's like, second opinion's not the best. First opinion would be like, you know what? We're going to shut you down for 2 weeks. All right. Sounds good. You don't need a second opinion at that point. Getting a second opinion, it definitely makes you a little nervous. And Matt LaFleur's words this week didn't really subside any of those anxieties, those nerves, because he talked about potentially if it is surgery, it's season-ending surgery. He didn't mince words about that. So it looks like thus far, obviously he hasn't gone under the knife yet. He will not play this week. I imagine he won't play against the Bears. That's my expectation. So thus far, Jair is still, you know, able to play at some point. It sounds probably a little bit more severe than just an AC joint sprain, unfortunately, but we know how the Packers operate with injuries, and we've become accustomed to that with, you know, star players for the Packers this year, from Elgton Jenkins to Za'Darius Smith to David Bakhtiari to guys a little bit of a tier lower, MVS, Kevin King. It's like every freaking week, Jason, we're having these injuries, and it just sucks to keep up with, and the Packers are still – they're still climbing. I think they're still improving every week, which is awesome, even though they're losing some players. And they'll get some players back this week, even next week with Bakhtiari, but it's kind of sucks. It's unfortunate. You see a guy like Jair comes off the field, and, you know, in my head, I see him walk off, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's fine. It's not a, you know, it's not an Achilles. It's not a ACL. It's not a hip. It's not a groin. But then it's like he's getting carted off, and you're like, well, that's kind of strange. If he could walk very easy, he wouldn't have to take the ride to the locker room, and it turns out it's a shoulder injury. And
when you get carted off and it's an upper body injury, that's kind of scary.
It's kind of weird. Like he walked off the field, but like to walk from the sideline into the locker room, you can't just do that. You had to get on a cart, and I don't know. I mean, at that point, I think they're probably being super precautious. If there's maybe x-rays or something like that, they're worried about that too. You don't want if there's something actually really wrong, but it sucks. It's unfortunate. Jair's one of the better corners in the league, if not the best. And for the Packers to lose another stud only into week four, now going into week five, it's just, it's unfortunate, but they're still going strong. There really hasn't been too much downfall. Obviously Jair was only out for like a quarter and a half. So we'll see what happens this week when 60 minutes of play without one of the number one corners in the league for the Packers.
Well, you know, if Jair can play, he's going to play. He's the type of guy that if he can be out there, he's going to be out there. So it's not a matter of he doesn't, you know, he's willing to just kind of go with the grain. I think he would go against the grain and really push to play if he could, because, you know, he just gets it. It's one of the reasons why he's so good, is he's a smart player and he understands the magnitude of what's in front of him and the opportunity the Packers have this season. And the injury bug is back. Yeah, the last couple seasons we've had a little bit of a break from it, which has been nice. I remember the last few seasons with doing the show when Mark was on our crew here, it was like, okay, what are we'll get through the injury report in 10 minutes. What are we going to talk about for the other 30 minutes? So, but now it's not that. So obviously Jair Alexander didn't practice at all this week. Will not play this Sunday. Center Josh Myers has the finger injury. He also did not practice at all. He will be out. He will not play this week, which means, so Jair Alexander, we talked a little bit before we started recording. Eric Stokes is going to play. Kevin King looks like he's going to be cleared. He was limited on Wednesday, Thursday, practiced in full on Friday. He's not listed on the injury report. So you would assume Kevin King will be out there. Chandon Sullivan's not on the injury report. So you're running with those guys against the Bengals, and that's likely going to be your starting corner trio at center. They could do a bunch of different things here. Now, this is also, you know, there's a couple domino pieces here. So Elgton Jenkins did practice in limited fashion on Thursday and Friday. He's listed as questionable. He did not practice on Wednesday. So we'll see if Big E can go. If he can, that gives the Packers some options, because he's played center. He's played all over the offensive line before. But you also have Lucas Patrick, who can step in there and play center. He's played center before. And then you keep Elgton Jenkins. If Elgton Jenkins can play, I would have to think that, you know, maybe you want to keep him at left tackle, where he's been really, really good. But maybe they also feel like Josh Nyman has played well enough that you put Jenkins at left guard, fortify that left side, put Patrick at center. A lot of moving parts here. So I know I just threw a bunch at you there, Matt. So as far as the cornerback and the center with our two guys that are out, what did you think about any of those ideas, or do you have any of your own as far as how you think the Packers might attack mitigating those losses?
You know, I'm going to start with the defensive back. I think it's pretty quick. Like, if Kevin King's ready to go and he's 100%, like, it's still going to be a tough matchup. I think the receivers for the Bengals are pretty damn good. Right now, it seems like Eric Stokes probably is the number one. I don't know if you have to put a number next to him, but I imagine whoever's lining up with Jamar Chase is going to be a matchup problem. Tyler Boyd stepped up really great this last couple of weeks with T. Higgins out. He is a full participant this week, and he will actually more than likely play on Sunday. So those three receivers are pretty damn good for the Cincinnati Bengals. Getting the ball out to them with that offense with Joey Burrow is nasty. Joe Mixon's tweaked too, so it's like they're going to probably throw the ball even more. CJ Uzama had a good game last week, so I think the Packers secondary is going to be in for a tough task, and it's probably going to be some lumps with Eric Stokes along the way. He finished the game last week with a pick, which was really, really cool, but as a rookie cornerback, understand that you might get absolutely destroyed this week, potentially. That is an option. Where the lineman situation comes into play is, I'm remembering 2 weeks ago on this podcast and on Game on Wisconsin podcast I do with Brendan Dorzinski, the final dump. I think everyone collectively was like, Dennis Kelly will play here or Billy Turner will play there. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, Nijman came in.
Yeah.
And the way he's played, it's like, well, what the hell? Like, maybe they're better with leaving the continuity there. I mean, he went up against two of the better pass rushes in this league between the Niners and the Steelers. Why would you not run him against the Bengals? The Bengals aren't awful by no means. Trey Hendrickson's having a decent year. DJ Reader's always solid up the middle. But, like, why would you throw another wrinkle in there? Let's stay with what's gone really, really well. I think if you get Myers out, obviously with that finger, which is really unfortunate, you have one of the most versatile linemen in the league, if not the most versatile, Elgton Jenkins. Put him in there at center. It should be an easy transition. That's my expectation, because you put Lucas Patrick in there, then you're going to put You would get Nijman out, who's like, Yash, you're going to take a seat. And he's like, why? You know, I've had 2 good weeks. And it's like, well, Elton's back. And it's like, okay. And it just doesn't make sense that way. So based off of last week, they kind of went with the path of least resistance. I expect them to do that this week. I'm assuming Elton will start at center. Would I be upset if Lucas Patrick was at center and Elton was outside? No, but I think Nijman's been very, very, you know, above what my expectation was the last 2 weeks. So I expect him to probably start at left tackle, kind of wean in Elton to the center position. I realize he is coming off an ankle injury. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that affects him too much snapping the ball relative to, you know, drop stepping at left tackle. My guess, if I had to, would be Elton plays center and they go from there. But, you know, at the end of the day, the common denominator is Jason. They have absolutely versatile offensive linemen. They can put them anywhere, which has been one of the biggest blessings that has happened with the Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst era.
Yeah, having all these options is just, you know, it's hard for us because we have so many options to talk through, but that's a good problem for the Packers to have. And whatever they roll out with on Sunday, I'm going to trust it's the best thing. And to your point, this is another feather in the cap of you got to trust the coaching staff. You've got to trust the team that knows what's going on. We don't. We obviously thought, when I found out Yash Nijman was getting the start, and I'm like, is Dennis Kelly breathing? Because if he is, I want to know why he's not playing on the right side and why Billy Turner isn't moving over to left tackle, where he was okay and did a decent job last year when Bakhtiari went down throughout the playoffs. Well, the joke is on us because the Packers knew better. And maybe they found something in Nijman, because that's big, because he's an undrafted. You don't expect guys in his position to play, you know, very well, especially at a premier position like left tackle. So that's a really good spot that the Packers are in. But I do hope that this finger situation with Josh Myers is more short-term than not. I hope they can get him back because he's played well. I don't hear his name much, which means he's doing well. You need your center, and that's your signal caller, and you don't really want to have to rotate too many other guys in there at that position. But I just, like I was saying before the show started, it's a long injury list. I mean, of all the guys listed here, we talked about Alexander, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Dennis Kelly's listed. He is as questionable with an illness. He didn't practice at all on Thursday or Friday. I don't think he practiced on Wednesday either. Isaac Yiadom is on there with a quadricep. He's good to go. Dean Lowry with an ankle. Kevin King had the concussion. Aaron Jones is listed as an ankle injury. Now, one thing to keep an eye on with Aaron Jones, he was limited all 3 days. He didn't practice in full any of those 3 days. So, Matt, we've seen it happen in the past, too, where a player's not listed on the injury report or is out, and then all of a sudden we get a surprise tweet, you know, 90 minutes before the game starts on Sunday, and, you know, lo and behold, Aaron Jones is out this week, and he's not going to be able to go. So I don't know that necessarily will happen because he's not listed as questionable, but it is Aaron Jones, and it's those wonky AFC road games. Not that that has anything to do with an injury, but it just, you know, something to keep an eye on there, too, and especially up against this Cincinnati defense. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I looked at that real quickly, and I'm like, anytime I see the LP all 3 days, there's a chance. You never know.
Yeah, and if memory serves me correct, I want to say he kind of tweaked that ankle midway through the Steelers game this last week, and I feel like Aaron Jones is the type of guy that's always kind of got a lower body injury that he's kind of going through. He's never like the most durable dude. You look at also AJ Dillon. He was a full participant this week. He's still got that back he's nursing. So those surprise tweets, there's nothing worse, Jason, because I'm trying to set the fantasy roster Sunday morning.
Very important.
When I get a real life situation with the Packers with an injury, it's like, dude, that throws everything off. Like, so if that were the case, that'd be pretty frustrating with Aaron Jones. I'm not gonna lie, but I imagine they're just kind of weaning him through it this week, seeing what they can get from him. I think he'll be a full participant. I think it's just another luxury to have a guy like AJ Dillon who can fill in and take some reps if necessary, take a bulk of those snaps, between the tackles. So I think that'll be fine. You talked about Yiadom. We'll figure out what happens with him. I think the secondary is going to have to step up a little bit. Like after Chandon Sullivan, we'll see who can fill in that way. I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Because, like I said, those three receivers are pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
If it's kind of all going to depend on how reliant the Zach Taylor offense is going to be, right? Like if they're going to try to throw the ball an absolute astronomical amount without Joe Mixon in there. Well, I imagine those, especially in this weather, this heat, like those corners are going to get a little run down. Like those three receivers are pretty damn good for the Bengals. Like those guys are super, super solid. So I think that could be a concern there too without Jair playing. But overall, I'm not. You keep mentioning these AFC, these games, these road games, and I don't want to put a lot of weight into it, but I think you're right. Like, we've seen this happen before. I want to say it happened a couple years ago with the Chargers. It's happened in years past with the Titans. It's one of those games where it's like, especially like if you look back and like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, this isn't like the Andy Dalton led Bengals. This isn't the Ryan Finley led Bengals, the AJ McCarron Bengals. This is the Joe Burrow Bengals. Like, mm-hmm. they're pretty decent.
They've gotten good. They've gotten better.
They've gotten good. And like Joe Burrow, I think I may have called him Joe Barry at one point. Joe Burrow, he's a solid dude, and he's got that it factor. He's got that thing that you go to the combine, you can't really measure it. You can't put a stopwatch to it. You can't do a Wonderlic test to it. He's just got that it factor. And being a second year guy, like, he's got a lot of guys believing in him. And right now, I think yesterday it was at 50.5. For the over-under, I want to say that was like third in the league right now. So Vegas, who's a lot smarter than a lot of us, is expecting this to be a high contested game, high points. I think a lot of that has to do with what these two offenses have done the last couple of weeks. What, you know, 10-day rest for the Bengals. They're going to be decent weather. You don't have to worry about any of this Green Bay weather. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. And the fact that the Packers are a little bit banged up kind of tightens that margin a little bit for me.
No, it does. And I should have also mentioned, too, A.J. Dillon was on the injury list with a back. He's full participant all 3 days, but when I back injuries, never something that you want to see blow up or explode. So A.J. Dillon with a back injury, but he's full participant all 3 days. He should be good to go. Chris Barnes cleared full practice every day. He's good to go. We're going to get Chris Barnes back to Devondre Campbell in the middle. And, Matt, I can't believe we went almost over half of the show. Yeah, see, you're nodding. You at home can't see because this is an audio-only podcast, but you're nodding because you know where this is going. So we obviously need to talk about our take on the newest Green Bay Packer, which is linebacker Jalen Smith, who was surprisingly released by the Dallas Cowboys earlier this week. The Packers signed him. He is now a member of the Green Bay Packers. I love Jalen Smith coming out of Notre Dame, and I was already just agonizing over the fact that the Packers weren't going to be able to draft him because he was supposed to be a top 10 pick, and then he just absolutely destroys his knee in the Fiesta Bowl in his last game in college, has nerve damage, slides all the way to the second round. The Dallas Cowboys ended up picking him up, and he ended up becoming a really good player, made a Pro Bowl. He's played in all 16 games the last three seasons, Matt, so availability is not an issue for a guy that had a huge, massive injury coming in. But I do want to temper expectations a little bit because we get really excited and we're all like looking forward to it. And always going to wear number 9. He's going to, you know, he's got all this extra mojo for the Green Bay Packers. I don't think we're going to see him on the field this weekend. I don't. This has the makings of we're all excited and we can't wait. And he's inactive at the beginning of game day, and Twitter absolutely melts down because we're not playing Jalen Smith. But I say all that to say, obviously, Devondre Campbell has played lights the hell out over the past couple weeks. He has been such a good pickup. You want him out there. That's the guy that you want out there. He knows this defense. He knows what's going on. Jalen Smith just got into town. Matt, you were joking before we started going that Matt LaFleur wasn't even sure if Jalen Smith was in Green Bay on Thursday, which is right, or Wednesday, which is like
Wednesday or Thursday. Regardless, it's hilarious.
Halfway through the week of practice. But Jalen Smith, some depth in the middle of the defense. And obviously, when we've watched Ty Summers is great on special teams. And we've seen enough of him on defense to know that I think the Jalen Smith move was necessary to upgrade a little bit of that depth. You're not going to ask Jalen Smith to step in and start, but if he has to play, you'd rather have him out there than a Ty Summers. The Packers are all in. They're trying to do some really good things. Love you, Ty Summers, but on defense, Matt, I'm sure you probably agree this was a good move.
Hell yeah. And like you brought it up perfectly, man. Like, he hasn't missed a game since he started. Like, that's the biggest thing to me. You got a guy coming off a catastrophic knee injury when he was in college, unfortunately, but he hasn't missed a game. And like, that's the biggest thing to me. Maybe he's lost a step. There's analysts that think he's, you know, changed the direction. It's not as great, but at the end of the day, what's the worst that could happen? The Packers picked him up now for $800,000, $850,000, whatever it is, less than a million.
And thank you to the Cowboys for picking up the $7.2 million.
And that's the other thing. Like, let Jerry Jones pay for him. Like, who cares? Like, at the very minimum, he is a third down pass coverage guy. Like, at the very, very minimum. On the absolute highest expectation. This is the first dynamic linebacker the Packers have had since Clay Matthews. Like, that's really what it looks like to me. And I'm excited. Like, when earlier in the week when it was Gilmore and Jalen Smith, like, Gilmore was obvious, or was it, it was Jalen the night before and then Gilmore the following morning. Like, I was like, okay, like, which one makes more sense? You look at Jalen, he's 5 years younger. He fills a need right away that the Packers have. I think Devondre Campbell's been absolutely lights out. Your words, I would totally agree. But, like, let's have another versatile dude. Devondre Campbell's a little bit more of a thumper. He's actually been a lot more athletic sideline to sideline than I would have expected. But Jalen's just a, you know, he's a faster player. He's more of that hybrid dude. He's like an upgraded Oren Burks, if you will. So, and I think if you'd have brought that corner in, it kind of would have muddied the situation. Obviously, short term, it works great if Jair's out, but you have some younger dudes that you're probably trying to establish as, you know, starters in this league. And I love the Jalen Smith pickup. I think there's zero negative with it, other than Packers Twitter blowing up 90 minutes before the game this weekend that he's probably not going to be activated, because that would be a shock. The relationship that he has with Matt LaFleur at their Notre Dame days, they was talked about this week on the beat. That's awesome. Jalen Smith has spoke highly about Matt LaFleur. He spoke highly about the pedigree and the history of the Green Bay Packers. I think it's a win-win. And you throw a number 9 jersey and a linebacker, we finally have that wrinkle in here that the whole entire NFL is doing.
Amari Rodgers with the 8. Yeah, all right,
exactly.
So,
let's get it. I'm pumped. I like it. It's fun. Let's see how he fits in the Joe Barry defense. It's just another piece for them to, I don't want to say plug and play, but give it another wrinkle. Devondre's done well, but that linebacking core, that front seven needed some help probably before the season started. It was right at its limit, and right now with a couple injuries going on, it's we got to get a guy in there. And maybe he's not an edge rusher, but he can do a couple things, covering linebackers, tight ends, rush the passer. So I love the Jalen Smith pickup.
Jalen Smith's a football player, and that's a big thing. And I was listening to the Wendy's Big Show, and Rick Goslin was on, and he was talking about Jalen Smith, and he just described him as a football player. He's a guy that you can put out there and just, he can play. He doesn't need to know the playbook. He can just play football. And I'm not saying he can be a starter and all pro, but there are certain types of players that you know that are going to get out there and they're going to do something for you. That's why the Packers made this move. I mean, it's just the Cowboys knew that Smith probably wasn't their future. They stocked up on the inside, the linebacker position. And that's fine if you know that. But when you're paying a guy $7 million and you cut the cord, like, that's just the most interesting. Jerry Jones has, for as much as he dominated his Cowboys teams, dominated the Packers in the 90s, Jerry Jones has created a Dallas Cowboys franchise and that has been so, so generous to the Green Bay Packers. And I just want to say thank you to Jerry Jones and the Jones family for everything that they do to keep the Packers good, relevant, and moving on in the playoffs over their own beloved Dallas Cowboys. Now, I may eat those words because the Cowboys are having a decent season this year, but Jalen Smith in Green Bay, he'll play for the Packers. Very excited to see what he can do. But again, I don't think it's going to start this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. He just doesn't know the playbook, although he is on the roster and he is not listed on the injury report. So anything is possible. But again, the Packers have options. They don't have a ton of guys that are out. So I was going to look real quick, Matt, at the Bengals injury report too. And I don't know much about Cincinnati because we don't see them very often. But Trey Hopkins is listed as questionable. He's their center. Joe Mixon, the running back we're familiar with, didn't practice at all this week. He's questionable. Xavier Suafilo, the guard, is out. He's listed as out. And then Mike Thomas, wide receiver, he's a backup wide receiver, is listed as doubtful. Larry Ogunjobi, defensive tackle, is questionable. And Trey Waynes, former Minnesota Vikings cornerback, is listed as questionable with a hamstring. So none of those wide receivers, unfortunately, we don't want anybody to get injured, but none of those great Bengals receivers that you mentioned are listed on this report. And one point I wanted to make too about this game is, Matt, you hit the nail on the head, and I think they're absolutely right. I see this game being a very high scoring game because both teams are just going to try to outscore the other. You know, if the Packers are struggling in pass coverage because Jair's not out there, and you'd like to think that Jair not being out there isn't going to completely wreck, although when you have an all pro missing, that's going to make a huge difference. But I think that Cincinnati's take here is hey, Kevin King can be had. He just needs to make a mistake once or twice, and we're 14 points richer. Let's find those 14 points in this game, and let's pick on Chan Sullivan and whoever else is going to play behind him, whether it's Yadam or Shamarjean Charles, and let's find ways to make plays. So I just think the safeties have to have another big game here. I'm still waiting for Adrian Amos to make a huge splash play this season. Darnell Savage has been pretty good, but I think the safeties are going to have to step up and be a big help in the passing game. But I could see this being one of those things where the Packers are just trying to come out, you know, especially if Aaron Jones is banged up, A.J. Dillon is banged up. You could just, you know, get up 14-0. You're going to force Cincinnati to throw, and then it's going to become a throw fest. And it could become one of those games that was like the Charger game 10 years ago, where it's like 41-38 at the end, and it's just a flurry of... I was at that game. I was at that game in San Diego. It was the last time the Packers played the Chargers in San Diego, and Tremont had a pick six. Charlie Pepper had a pick six. It was the year the Packers were defending the Super Bowl championship. They hadn't lost a game yet. They ended up beating the Chargers. It was almost like Lambeau West. There was more Packers fans in there at the end, creating noise, and the Chargers had to go silent count. So as far as the Bengals and their injury situation, maybe you have some more insights than I do as far as some of those players who aren't going to play. I mean, Trey Hopkins at center, your center. Once again, both teams are potentially missing their starting center. That's kind of a big deal. But it's all about that depth. And I don't, you know, that might be where the Bengals maybe aren't as quite as strong as the Packers, as a young team that's up and coming and just starting to kind of get their feet under them in the Zach Taylor era as far as, you know, winning some games and being a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I think that secondary is not as good as the Packers secondary is, but they've gotten healthier throughout this week. It looks like Trey Wayne's still limited with that hamstring injury. I'm not so sure if he's even going to play, what his production will be. Jadobia Woozy, former Cowboy, as you were already slamming into this podcast, which is absolutely appropriate being a Pack-A-Day podcast. He was limited in practice with a groin. He was a full participant on Friday. Jesse Bates, really, really underrated safety for them. Still nursing a neck injury. So that entire secondary is kind of banged up right now. And I don't really know who would be able to match up, if it's Trey Wayne's, more than likely, how that would fare for him versus Devontae Adams. So I think, again, you mentioned this, and I think Vegas knows better than us. It's going to be a high scoring affair. That's my opinion. I think that's what is going to happen. The Bengals haven't had a full, healthy wide receiving core, I think, since week two. Granted, that was against the Bears. They didn't go too well for Joe Burrow in that game. He threw three picks. So let's see if that actually, can impact this game with him having a fully healthy receiving core and without a Joe Mixon. I think that's a lot to it. So outside of that, I look at, like you mentioned, the defensive tackle there, which you pronounce his name fantastic. That's excellent on you. Like, I would have never.
I just say it really fast and hope that all the syllables and vowels come out in the right order.
And I like, if it's four syllables, I add four more. Like, I'm an eight-syllable guy on something like that. So, but I don't think he impacts the game all too much. I think DJ Reader's a solid guy up front. At the end of the day, I think right now, when we looked at the injury reports on Wednesday and Thursday, it was pretty dicey. It was real. it was nasty. And now there's a couple guys out for the Packers, one out for the Bengals. Not really a starter for them at all. A couple guys questionable here and there. As we trend into the weekend, they still have five guys questionable. The Packers still have three guys questionable. One just got put on IR. Two that are officially out. Like, it's a tough spot, man. It sucks, and getting that injury bug, it just comes and goes. It seems like the Packers have it this year, and I've talked about this again and again with, like, these high-profile dudes, these superstars in the star positions. They don't really have these guys that are middle of the road, banged up, and you don't wish ill will on anyone, on an NFL roster, because they're all trying to make a living and, play a game and entertain us. But it sucks that you're going to lose guys that are super dynamic, and it's from different positions every week. But at the end of the day, I think the Packers are the better team. I think, maybe I'm a little biased, but that Thursday night football game versus the Jaguars, the Bengals look like shit. Like, I expect the Bengals to go in and absolutely throttle Jacksonville, and that didn't happen. They came from behind and were able to win that game, but it was a really, really ugly game. I know Thursday night football, you take that with a grain of salt because it usually is really, really ugly. But I think the Bengals on a 10-day rest, I think with Joe Burrow, that offense, I expect them to be able to compete. I do have the Packers winning.
Ooh, early spoiler. All right.
I do have the Packers winning. It's, and then this is the thing, though, too. Like, I'm kind of going to this with the same feeling that I had versus the Niners. Like, the Niners games kind of get that same vibe for me. I'm like, Packers a little bit banged up. You don't know what you're going to get. Left tackle's out. We got Jair out. Fortunately, we have a little shot in the arm with Elton Jenkins. But they've proved something to me in the last 2 weeks that they're on the up and up still. They're not on this roller coaster. They're putting the best 60 minutes together as they can. So I got the Packers winning. I won't tell you my score yet, but it's... What are your thoughts?
Well, I was going to go back because we missed something here, too, with regards. We were talking about the depth in the secondary, and we completely left Russell Douglas out, who the Packers signed off the Cardinals practice squad. And I think the signing there, so obviously it's not Stephon Gilmore, and we don't need to talk about Stephon Gilmore because I think that whole thing, we just got hoodwinked by the media. I mean, there was this report that Gilmore wanted to be in Green Bay. Listen, that was Gilmore's agent and Gilmore putting that out there. So that, or the, you know, the Patriots putting that out there so that they could fleece the Panthers for, they knew he was going to Carolina and they wanted to get more that they, as much as they could from Carolina. It ended up being a sixth rounder 2 years from now. So that tells you how desperate they were to upgrade a pick in any fashion. Right. So Stephon Gilmore not coming to Green Bay. I don't think that was ever the chance. As a matter of fact, Greg Bedard was on the Wendy's Big Show earlier this week, too. Wendy's Big Show owes me. I mention them a lot. And Bedard said the Packers didn't even make an offer for Stephon Gilmore, so I don't think that was ever in the cards at all. And the fact that they didn't, because I can tell you right now, Matt, and I think you would agree, if they knew there was a huge problem with Jair and that surgery was more than 50% likely, they're doing everything they can. I mean, if they gave up a sixth-round pick for a punter, they'll make a trade for they'll do something to get Stephon Gilmore in here and upgrade that secondary. So I think they feel pretty confident that Jair is going to be able to at least play at some point sooner than later. But Russell Douglas, he's a guy that comes in now. He's spent some time with the Raiders, spent some time with the Panthers, the Cardinals. So he's bounced around. Obviously, he's not a solid every down player. But when you talk about guys like you said, like Yadam, who's on the injury report, and Shamar Jean Charles, who's a rookie, maybe you want a little bit more stability if you're going to have to play your third guy out there. So I think Douglas is somebody that gives you a little bit of a boost there. And if nothing else, the Packers are playing the Cardinals. Speaking of Thursday night, they play the Cardinals on Thursday night in a couple weeks. Maybe Douglas gives them a little insight into that Cardinals offense that I think the Packers are going to have their hands full with. So Douglas as an option at cornerback, obviously, gives the secondary another little bit of a, it's not Jair Alexander, but gives the secondary a little bit of a boost, a little more breathing room when it gets into that pass-heavy time of the game and the Packers have to try to get off the field via the pass defense.
Yeah, definitely. And then it's the thing with Douglas, too, is it's like, are you tall? Are you kind of athletic? Are you a little bit bigger? But yep, we're gonna pick you up. They've done that time and time again this offseason with guys, not like Yadam, but like dudes throughout these last couple of months where we're just like, yeah, we forgot about you and you're off the squad now. It's like 6'1", 6'2", can play a little bump and run, can play a little bit of zone. Basically, it's Kevin King, but just not Kevin King. That's literally what they're getting from him. I don't know what they're going to do. I love the savvy move if that's what they're going for, pulling some info from him before they play the Cardinals. We'll see if that's the case. I personally go back to the Patriots-Jets days with Eric Mangini and his career, and it felt like back and forth all the time they were doing that with him and Bill Belichick. So I love that tactic. I think it's a funny move into, especially to observe. Normally it's within the division. I feel like you see that quite a bit. I feel like the Bears do that with the Packers guys once in a while and vice versa, but I don't know what Douglas is to contribute other than being a body. But I think, like you said, I think it definitely, without Gilmore being signed, I think it gives you a little bit more peace of mind if you're a Packers fan with, you know, maybe Jair isn't going under the knife because maybe they would have got Gilmore then. So I think it gives me a little bit more peace of mind that they go with linebacker instead of a cornerback there. Granted, there's a way – they're not even close to the same player as far as within their years, production, injuries, et cetera. But I think it's decent, and I think they're in a decent position to move forward. And the Bill Belichick, this is the third time I brought him up. Just the fact that they're like, yep, we cut Gilmore, and it's like, whoa, we'll give you a pick for him. It's just like the ultimate Patriots move. And like you said, it was more than likely Gilmore was going to go there. J.C. Horn was out. Gilmore went to South Carolina. Apparently he's got a house a few blocks away from either the GM or the owner.
Oh, yeah.
It was a slam.
We got hoodwinked. We got J.J. Watted again.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, we did.
We got J.J. Watted again. But, yeah, I mean, the Packers, the depth thing, and listen, trust this team. They know what's going on. They're all in. They know what's up. And they obviously have limitations, so maybe they aren't going to be able to. But the player has to want to go to the team. I guess maybe if you're trading him, he doesn't have to. But at this point in his career, Stephon Gilmore probably had a little bit of input on how that went down and where he ended up going. So it's prediction time. We've kind of gone through the injury report. Matt, you've already kind of spoiled a little bit of who you're taking. I am also going to take the Packers to win this game. I think it's going to be really close. And in fact, I can see it going to overtime. And I honestly think this could be like a 38-35 type of thing. Mason Crosby walk it off again type of deal. It's the AFC. It's on the road. It's wonky. The history doesn't mean anything because they're playing the game now, but the Packers haven't won in Cincinnati since 1998. That's the last time they won a regular season or any game in that's against the Bengals on the road. That was, you know, Brett Favre against Carl Pickens, and I don't even know who the quarterback for the I would think it might have still been maybe it was Neil O'Donnell at that point. He moved over to the Bengals from the Steelers after he lost those Super Bowl. I don't know. I have no idea. So been a long time, but I think I'll go 38-35. I think the Packers pull it out, but it's going to be one of those games where we're going to be on the edge of our seats, and we're just going to want it to kind of let's move on. Let's just get on to the next week, and hopefully the Packers can stay healthy this week. They need to start getting some of their guys back. So hopefully it's an injury free game, and the Packers can escape with a win, keep the ball rolling, keep this thing churning while they're waiting to get some of their studs back. So we know you think the Packers are going to win, Matt. What is your final?
Yeah, I think the Packers are going to get the W here. Like I said, it was 50.5. I think the Packers are favored by 3 points on the road. So on a neutral site, that would give you about a 6-point margin. And my math checks out. Like, I feel like the Bengals have scored 3 touchdowns or relatively around 3 scores per game thus far. I think the Packers are hitting their stride with this offense. I'm going 27-21 Packers. Obviously, I'd be going under the under. I could see it definitely being a shootout, but right now we're both teams are kind of sitting. Got some issues with the offensive line for the Packers. Bengals are losing Joe Mixon. Granted, they are bringing back a healthy receiving core. I'm going 27-21 Packers. I like the score. I think there's a potential for it to not be a shootout because both these defenses are halfway decent. But again, AFC on the road, you don't really know what you're going to get from these Bengals right now because they're kind of all over the place. They have 10 days to prepare for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, but 6-point margin, Packers get another W on the road.
All right, a little bit of a lower scoring affair, but either way, the result is the same. We're both picking the Packers to win this game and improve their record to 4-1. Is it 4-1?
4-1, sir.
4-1. That's right. Losing track of my weeks here. All right, awesome. Well, we will be back again next week. I'm assuming Paul will be back with us. We'll have the trio all together again. It's Bears week after this week. I don't look too far ahead, but it is Bears week coming up next week, so that'll be exciting. If I want to talk about the Packers, we'll visit the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. We'll have the weather reports for you. As always, if anybody wants to get their name and their Twitter handle read on the show, send us their weather report and let us know what's going on over by you as we get closer to the Saturday Pack-A-Day podcast next weekend. Matt, real quick. Your work around the NFL with Game On Wisconsin and Pack-A-Day Podcast and everything else, what can we look forward to this week?
Definitely. Right now, still working on Final Dump with Brendan Dwarzynski. I just actually had to text him because I realized I missaid something on yesterday's episode. But go check that out, Final Dump, Game On Wisconsin. You can find Game On Wisconsin on all podcast subscriptions, Google, Apple, Twitter, of course, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. You can find Jason's podcast on there, Quick Slants, as well. So go, please check that out and all the content the Game On Wisconsin crew is putting out. You can still find me on Twitter at @Matt_FRA_. It's @Matt_Frey_. Send me your weather stuff. I've gotten some local guys. Like, I have a couple decent dudes in my pocket. Luke Sampy's a really solid guy when it comes to the Packers Twitter and weather, but I need international love. So
there we
go.
Send
me those DMs. Send me those tweets. Let me know. I don't care where you're at. Like, international would be great. I'll even take someone from, like, Sheboygan or Manitowoc at this point.
Anything we can. Let's get Matt a friend in the weather report department. And I will have the Quick Slants podcast for you. I'll have a game recap up at Game On Wisconsin after the game on Sunday against the Bengals. We'll have the Quick Slants podcast on Monday with a game recap. And then again on Thursday with a midweek recap before reconvening with my homies here for the Saturday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast next week. So it's time for the Packers to go out and get a big victory in Cincinnati. Everybody enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game. Stay safe. As always, go Pack, go.